It's Thursday, August 30th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central show number 795, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our August special, which is expiring in mere hours, for all new and existing GoDaddy customers, save 20% off your order using promo code GO20OFF2. Our September special, which is starting right now, get 3 .coms at $5.99 each. Got a great special here for you, end of August, start of September special. Hey folks, got a great show lined up for you. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and I want to encourage you to visit our website at geeknewscentral.com. I tell you, when you go over there, you're going to find all kinds of great content, lots of articles being written up by all of our great content writers. Of course, you're going to find all of our shows as well. So you'll definitely want to get subscribed to the Gadget Professor, Saturday Morning Tech, Robot Underpants, and of course, this show, Geek News Central. The audio and video links there for most of the shows. Definitely get subscribed. Also, sign up for the newsletter while you're there. The newsletter basically contains all the content that I'm going to talk about tonight during the show. So you'll get an email with all the links. And if you don't sign up for the newsletter, you can always get all of the show notes. Basically, every link that I talk about and every link that's been submitted over at gncshownotes.com. But of course, make sure you visit the main website at geeknewscentral.com. I'm going to give a warm welcome, of course, to all of you that are joining us from around the world, all of our audio and video subscribers. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family, part of me, part of the Ohana. And of course, if you catch the show post live, you can always watch us on almost any device known to man at this point. Plus, the Roku, the Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, all of the Google TVs that are on the market, including the new one from Vizio. So definitely check us out on Google TV as well. And I tell you, if you get a chance sometime, we want you to consider watching the live stream. The live stream is up essentially 24/7. The live audio stream is up. And if you're not able to catch the show live, you can basically listen in and where you're at work or basically hanging out. But subscribing to the show via iTunes or Zoom Marketplace guarantees that you can get that show delivered to your media device. And that way you'll have me in your pocket wherever you may go. Of course, I want to give a mention out to Tech Podcast Network. If you haven't been over there in a while, I tell you, we've got lots of great shows. They're doing lots of great things, and I was going to bring it up. I should have had it queued here, but definitely consider going over to techpodcast.com. Jeffrey Powers' iPad 365 is up, one of the newest shows. Of course, Waves of Tech with Steve Lee. We've got David Eckhoff, with a co-founder of one of his shows, and we've got lots of great stuff going on at techpodcast.com. And definitely check out the Family Safe shows over there. And we definitely appreciate all of you for doing so. Well, I tell you, this is the end of the month, and we want to give a big thank you to all of our sponsors. I tell you, this is one of those times of the, you know, basically at the end of the month, we look at what we have been able to produce and what we brought in. And hopefully there's enough meat on the bone yet to take care of making advancements in the studio and eating and paying a light bill and that kind of things. But we do want to thank the sponsors for being here, and we hope that you'll definitely support them. I do want to, let's take care of the first piece of a business, and then I'm going to talk to you guys just a little bit about the upcoming shows and what's going to be happening here, because I do have a little bit of a schedule. And, you know, summer is not quite over. And we are all still very, very busy going. Many of you are probably wrapping up vacations or maybe taking a last one. I know the kids are going back to school in the mainland this coming Monday. But, you know, it seems like everyone is really on a different schedule. Shorter days, working remotely. So meeting with clients and colleagues in person can be just nearly impossible. And that's why I recommend GoToMeeting by Citrix. And I tell you, they've got such a fantastic product. And, you know, Annie McCaskey and I were talking about the other day, and he's like, I know it's just going to work. It's just one of those things that I don't have to worry about. It's in the toolkit. I can get a GoToMeeting session started immediately, and it lets us meet face-to-face with our clients. No matter where you're at, you can be in the beach, you can be in your car, you can be in front of your computer. And really, with GoToMeeting by Citrix and using the HD Faces feature, it just takes a webcam and a click to collaborate in a group meeting. And again, you can even join with an iPad, your Android. And the best part is you can see attendees face-to-face or eye-to-eye while collaborating on documents in real time. And obviously, that is going to add a greater dynamic, a greater connection between you and the person you're doing business with. And, you know, the iPad users, you just download the GoToMeeting app from the App Store and you join, and it's really a piece of cake. So what I want to do is I want to give the opportunity here to try GoToMeeting for 30 days. And this is a fantastic product. All you got to do is go over to GoToMeeting.com, and they've updated their page a little bit. So a little new motif on their website. But you go over to GoToMeeting.com. And again, don't wait for this special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. There's a Try It Free button there. It's going to bring you to a sign-up page. Put your name in there. Make sure that you click the little promo code button and enter the promo code podcast. That gets us credit here at Geek News Central for you doing the trial. Again, get this free 30-day trial by going to GoToMeeting.com, clicking on the Try It Free button, and using the promo code podcast. Again, be sure to use that promo code podcast. And of course, we want to thank GoToMeeting for being a sponsor here, and we definitely appreciate them and everything that they do, and hope that you definitely give the product a try. And I know once you use it, you're going to be on it. We've had hundreds and thousands of people. Actually, I shouldn't say thousands and thousands of people over the number of years that Citrix has been a sponsor here. Use the client, love it. And just basically, just like me, you're hooked, and it becomes part of your extensive toolkit. So we want to thank GoToMeeting here again for being a sponsor here this month at Geek News Central. All right, let's talk just a little bit about what's going on with me and my schedule. Signed a consulting gig, and this is going to result in travel, quite a bit of travel. I'm going to be doing two shows on the road on the week of September 10th. Then I'm going to be doing two shows on the road on the week of September 24th. So I'm looking here. Today's the 30th, and we are on show number 795. So we'll have two shows next week. That'll take us to 797. Then I'll do two shows on the road, 798, 799, and then back here on the 17th to do show 800. And then from there on, it's going to be busy here. I'm going to be crazy for the next couple of months for sure at the minimum. I'm probably traveling a couple of weeks out of each month, be going to Texas, going out to New Mexico, going to a variety of different places. But we'll be able to do the show on the road, do some green screen action. And as of course, I want to have you guys send me a something cool that we can use in the green screen motif. And definitely we'll be having fun with that and try to do different settings from time to time. The last couple of ones we've done and had a background of being in the space shuttle. So maybe I'll just shoot where I'm at and come up with a picture and use that part as a green screen. All right. The other thing that's going on is the podcast awards. And got a major announcement next week. I'm very excited about this year's podcast awards. And some good things are coming, really are. And I'll make the announcement next week, probably on Wednesday, which I'll talk about on Thursday's show. But you'll see announcement about it on Geek News Central, on Podcast Connect, and a variety of different places as well. So definitely keep you advised there. We are going to be looking for non-podcasters to help us with the review of the nominees If you'd like to help out this year and be a reviewer, definitely email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. And, you know, you can always reach out to the show anytime on Twitter via @geeknews. Of course, the email address again is geeknews@gmail.com. And our hotline here is 619-342-7365. And feel free to fire stuff off. But if you want to be one of the reviewers, you cannot be a podcaster, number one. To be a reviewer, you have to be a listener. And it does take a couple of hours per category. So just let me know if you can help out. And I'll let you know what's involved, provide you the information, the grading sheet. But again, it is a couple hours worth of work per category. And we need about 45 people to help do with reviews. So we hope that you'll join on. But lots of great things are going to be happening with the podcast awards this year. Really excited about that. Another thing that I saw that I'm just really excited about, and I know that most of you could probably care less about this, but the folks over at NewTek, and this is really important for those of you that are thinking about creating content or already are. You guys know that I've got a really expensive TriCaster here in the studio, but what they have done is they've come up with a new unit. It's called the TriCaster 40. It's a four-camera system. It's purely analog-based, so you don't have to have expensive cameras. And it uses the same exact interface that I'm using here to control everything on the show. It'll do video playback. It'll do lower thirds. You can drop in a little third. It'll drop in a little bug. So it'll do all these things that basically my machine will do, but it's limited to four cameras. And it doesn't have all of the bells and whistles, but it's got a pretty significant feature base. And to be very honest with you, you guys know that I built my portable system out of non-NewTek TriCaster products because this didn't exist, you know, 2 or 3 months ago. And I saw this today and I was like, oh, I was just like, gee whiz, I could have bought this instead and used it in my kit. So I may sell my portable studio and it is an upgrade to this unit. And I got to figure out if it's real travel ready or not and if it'll survive getting banged around and rolled around in a checked luggage, which I'm a little bit concerned about because they usually do use a computer breadboard. And if that stuff isn't like held down real well and it gets jammed around, you know, fans and different stuff like that can break. So I really got to think about that because I just can't be carrying something like this on as carry-on. With all the other stuff I travel with. But this this TC40, it is $5,000. But I'm going to tell you, there's nothing, you can't have a whole assortment of gear, including a computer and using Wirecast to even compete with this. You know, all told, the price of the unit is going to be much lower than what you can do building a system on your own. And all the little pieces and wires and all that stuff. This is really a fantastic product. And it's great for schools, great for churches. If you're interested in a TriCaster 40, email me because I've got the Gadget Professor. Him and his son are elite NewTek TriCaster dealers. And they can probably, if you're in their region, they can hook you up. With a product, but this is fantastic. It really is this new TriCaster 40, and it's just going to open the doors for so many people. You know, if people say $5,000, that's a lot of money. Well, by the time you buy a Mac and you buy Wirecast, you know, that's $2,500, and you buy all the extra gear, you're well over $5,000 in building a four channel system. And this is if this would have been available 2 years ago, I probably would have never had an 850 or even an 855, but very cool stuff. So anyway, I was excited about that, saw it today, and I've just been two thumbs up all day long about this. What else? A Saturday Morning Tech will be on Saturday with the show, and I've got a bunch of kids stuff going on, so it will be limited to probably 75 to 80 minutes before I have to pull the plug and run, but we will be doing a Saturday Morning Tech. Haven't got the guests lined up. We'll do that tomorrow, so look forward to that. All right, got a lot of stuff to get into tonight. I mean, I got a huge stack of of content. But one thing I want to draw your attention to here, and this is super important. We got some great deals by GoDaddy. We've got one that is expiring in about 24 hours is the 20% off your orders by using that promo code GO20OFF2. Again, that's going to expire here soon. And I've already got the September promotion. We've got the .com was real popular, that .com special, where you get three domains for $5.99 per year. Additional .coms are $7.99, but definitely check this out. You can get three .coms at $5.99 by using this promo code. And, of course, all my promo codes are at geeknewcentral.com /GoDaddy. And, again, don't forget the .com special and also the 20% off special, which will be dying. But definitely go over to geeknewcentral.com /GoDaddy to get some great deals. And we want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at the show. Share the codes, tweet the codes, put them up on Facebook, put them wherever you can. drive a link back to me on Twitter. It every little bit helps in building rank value for that page. Blog about it. That's a great way to support the show. And we definitely appreciate those of you that do that on a regular basis and use the codes to save a lot of money. All right, let's go ahead and get into the full stack of stuff tonight. And let's see if I got that in the right place. I do. I tell you, my daughter, I'm going to have more gray hair, fellas. Oh, boy. 16-year-olds and, oh. you know where I'm coming from for those of you that have went through that or fast approaching that. Hey, I want to start off tonight by showing you guys an image that is simply incredible. Let me load this, and hopefully you guys will be able to see this. Okay, so let me turn this on. This is over at photojpl.com, and those of you that are listening, what I'm showing is a panoramic picture of essentially a 360 of images that the Mars rover has shot. And you've got the ability to really point this up more, point it down, kind of scroll around. It's really incredible. It really is. And I saw this today, and I just sit here, and I'm letting it spin right now completely around for those of you that are watching. But, you know, I think I'll stop it here in a second. I'll just, and so now I can move it. And, you know, I can look up. So, you know, then I can zoom in. If I want to zoom in on an area, I can go up and down. And, you know, I can go over and I can look at this rock. And then if I really want to look down, I can look at the rover. You know, that's the thing that interests me sometimes is looking at the hardware and geeking out, you know, because I'm looking at all this stuff. And I'm like, this is, you know, these scientists are so lucky. You know, here I am. I've got this view, you know, this fantastic view of being able to look at this fantastic rover on the surface of Mars, looking at the condition of it. And it's just, it really wows me. It really does. So for those of you that are listening, this will be the first link up in the show notes. And when you see it, you're going to just go as gaga as I have. But, you know, what's interesting is they're saying that mountain that they're going to be going towards. Let me get this up here in the right. Oh, I'm rocking and rolling all over the place. All right, let's do that again. Let's go home. Okay, so now I can swing it back. It's a little bit tricky if you're using the mouse. But this mountain that's in the picture, they say it's like 6 or 7 miles away. And it really doesn't look like that far. It looks like you just walk over there, you know, but they're going to drive over there, and but they're on the move now. They've got like a quarter mile of a trek to make to their first location. But very cool stuff. Anyway, I'll have the link up in the show notes. It's photojpl.com, and it's been all over the net. Along with this, you know, they've been putting out all these basically panoramic pictures of unfiltered images, and those have been fantastic too. So I have some of those up in the show notes. One thing that Alan, one of our writers at Geek News Central, caught the other day was Google. When you went to google.com, they had Nexus 7 on the actual landing page. And when I went over there, I haven't seen this, but he's got a screenshot of it. It shows the Google page. And then basically they're advertising the tablet. We're going to talk about how incredible this is based upon some policies that Google have set forth in the past. And to see this on this page is like, wow, what are they? Are they really doing this? Because, you know, this is probably the most valuable page in all of the internet. And they've got front row advertising for their tablet. And I'm sure that just makes the old boys over at Apple makes their head sizzle. But smart marketing on Google's part. Those of you that are a GrooveShark fans, their Android app is back in the Google Play Store. So be aware of that. Now it's $6.99 a month, which is, I guess that's their normal price for GrooveShark, but definitely check it out. And it's back in play. And if you want to get the link and stuff, all you got to do is come over to geeknewscentral.com and you can grab the link. Well, there has been all kinds of news out of IFA, and IFA is going on in Berlin, and lots of fantastic monitors. And you know, some of these are incredible. LG has come out with a 29-inch, 21:9 aspect ratio monitor. And just looking at this, you're like, whoa, look at that. Now, did they put the price on how much this is going to be? No, but it's 20. Check this out. It's 2560 by 1080. Pixels, and it supports a four-way split screen view. The widescreen is the same as you find at a movie theater, making it obviously a great choice for Blu-ray flicks. But this thing is like, wow. And it's really incredible. Now, they've got a display port, they've got DVI, they've got HDMI, they've got a USB 3.0 port enabled on it. But great video by the folks over at Engadget. This is one of a couple of monitors I'm going to show you tonight that was at that show. But no price tag, but it's impressive. It really is. And I'm thinking this nice Dell monitor that I've got up here, maybe it's time. Maybe it's time to go to one of these. It's really incredible. Of course, it's got the Windows 8 motif on it, which is not surprising, being Windows 8 is going to be coming out soon. What else do I have up my stack here? Hey, it's being reported that the CEO of Apple and Larry Page, of course, who's CEO of Google, are purportedly talking about patents. And Reuters is saying that they've been having behind the scenes chats over the latest week or so about the ongoing proxy war between the two companies. And according to sources, they're planning to have a meeting where they can hash out some of their differences and maybe come up with who's going to pay who what. And it's also being discussed that Google may be wearing several hats here, including one as the owner of Motorola Mobility, which is currently suing Apple as well. So we'll see what happens with this. If there's a licensing deal struck, maybe they can keep from being out of the court and enriching their lawyers. Of course, I think they have their own lawyers on staff, so it wouldn't like make much of a difference, would it? But maybe we wouldn't have to hire as many assistants and so forth to support these guys. All right, Firefox 16 beta's arrived. It's got some new web app hooks. It's got a reader mode for Android and also a voice over for Macs. So this is pretty cool. I found this over at the future Firefox. Basically, it's on the Mozilla website, and they've got some details about it, some screenshots of what it's going to look like, what the mobile version is going to look like as well. So I have the link up to the show notes on that. And you can download the latest beta, of course. That's always available for you to do so. And so anyways, interesting seeing where this leads as we head. Of course, Firefox 15 just came out as well. Well, I tell you, Google has definitely been working the team at, or actually the legislatures in California. Ars Technica is reporting that the robot cars on public roads, the California legislature has said yes. Senate Bill 1298 was passed. And the Senate, you never see this kind of a vote. Senate was 72-4. And then, what was their House? I think it was almost the same type of a vote margin. So very exciting stuff. Of course, Google's been driving vehicles autonomously around for a long time. But we'll see where this leads, and maybe we'll see more Googlers in California driving these vehicles, or not driving, hanging out and reading a book. But for now, they have to have a driver behind the wheel, and the gear's kind of funky that's on. But, you know, if I could have a car that could drive me to work or drive my kids to school, would that be, like, fantastic? You get in, and it's just like, okay, Mauna Loa Middle School first. Second stop will be Mauna Loa High School. Go. Matter of fact, just let the car take the kids to school. I'll just stay home and continue to work. You know, I don't have to go. Just let the car go. How long before we're at that point, you know? Or better yet, if the neighbors have kids going to the same school, it's all programmed to stop here and pick mine up on the way. You know, just any guarantee they're not going to speed. You know, probably car's going to be safer than a teenage driver. You know, all kinds of considerations here, don't you think? And the kids can goof around the car. They don't have to worry about, they could text and everything, being that they're not behind the wheel. Cannot wait. Cannot wait. This will be great. And, you know, and but lots of hurdles to pass. And I guess what would be a prediction? What do you guys predict? How long before we are able to send our kids to school in the car without of course, a lot of you have the bus pick up your kids, but we're not in that situation here. How many of you, my kids go to public school, but how many of you would let a car autonomously take your kids to school? There'd have to be some lockout mechanism, I would think, or override mechanism. I'm sure there'll be all kinds of rules once it's in place, but cool to think about it. All right, a huge natural gas producer has basically appeared to be hacked. Officials in Qatar, the RAS gas is basically an unknown virus. RAS gas first identified an unknown voice on Monday and took the RASgas.com website and email service offline in response. So they're not saying anything about anything else, but we know that... Saudi Aramco was taken out with 30,000 of their workstations were affected before. So far, no real confirmation on exactly if it's the same malware that that struck the folks at RASgas in Qatar, but probably more than likely is. So, but it looks like at this point, at least what they're reporting, is that the damage was minimal. All right, this next article is just going to make blood boil, but we talked about the Java bug that's been out there and where there's a zero-day exploit and people are having some challenges. They're hitting some websites that's infecting their machines. Well, apparently Oracle updated Java software framework to fix the critical vulnerability, but they've known about it for like 4 months. And did nothing and haven't addressed this. So a little bit late on the draw, don't you think, Oracle? 4 months? And, you know, what did you think? That this thing was not going to be found out and they tried to keep it undercover? You know, I think Oracle here has some explaining to do. But so far, mum's word from the team over at Oracle. All right, I've started picking up some new RSS feeds. Matter of fact, I went through and kind of purged some of my old ones and added some new ones. One of the sites that I found that I forgot about this guy, His name's Thomas Hawk, and he's a big photographer, and he talks about photography a lot. And he's wrote up a pretty cool article about, do you even have to own a camera to be a photographer anymore? It talks about stuff that people are finding in the public domain, stuff that they're finding in Google Earth, and a variety of different sources. So I have the link up in the show notes for this. It's a pretty interesting, you know, it's a thinking article. It makes you go, yeah, he's right. So I have it up in the show notes for you to go through. This is definitely one where I can't explain it in detail, but you definitely need to go through and read that. Also over on Feld.com, I found a pretty cool article. You guys know I'm a retired Navy senior chief. Go Navy, by the way. And so anytime I see articles that are referencing veterans, I always have a tendency to take an extra look, especially when it's in the tech space. And this one here is basically a discussion about what's going on in the Boulder area and getting entrepreneurs that are actually have military backgrounds, and how they're being integrated, and some of the stigmatisms and everything that goes along with having a veteran in a startup. And I'm just going to give you guys some perspective from my standpoint of view. You know, I actually started a startup and build a business. But if you're thinking about, or if you have a company and you're looking for an employee that can be versatile, think on their feet, that can go with the flow, that takes orders, that will, you know, basically you don't have to sit there and babysit them. You really ought to think about hiring a veteran. They've had some good luck with this Tech Start Patriot Boot Camp, where they had some veterans come together and do some boot camps on startups. So it just kind of made me think a little bit to talk to you guys about it, because, you know, what you're going to find is a higher reliability. You're going to find someone that's versatile, someone that can fill multiple jobs. And it's just, you know, because so many of the military folks are mission-oriented. It's about getting a job task done. It is, you know, success is completion. Failure is not being able to complete that job or that task. And there is a lot of negativism that happens to someone in the military when they fail at something. And so people do not, people strive to excel. And I think that if you're considering hiring a veteran, to definitely think about it, because it is, I personally, if, you know, if I had a local company where everything was right here, where it had this great ability to recruit veterans, I think I would be veteran heavy. But because if my company's so small and we retain such a small size, we're not hiring anybody at this time. But it made myself going to think about, we're going to hire somebody. Yeah, I don't know why I hadn't thought about it in the past, but I thought I'd talk about it today. So definitely a class of entrepreneurs we need, and people that probably would fit good in your business if you're considering hiring someone for sure. Okay, let's go ahead and switch here. And this is going to be a reference back to the Google page that had the basically where they're promoting the Nexus 7. And a comment was made a number of years ago, specifically by Marissa Meyer. She said this in late 2005 while she was still vice president of search. There will be no banner ads on the Google homepage or web search results pages. There will not be crazy, flashy, graphical doodads flying and popping up all over Google site. And she says, ever. So ever has changed. You know, we from 2005 when they said this will be this pure page, and now Google is showing a Nexus 7 on the bottom of the page. That's quite the mind shift, and it makes you go, you can tell there's a little bit of change going on at Google, and they're willing to take a more risk, and very, very funny. So kind of a interesting paradigm shift at Google. A great article on Ars talking about the Apple Store and how they may be shifting from a customer experience to a profit machine. And a lot of hardcore Mac guys are not at all pleased with the direction that it appears to be happening at Apple stores. And I'm going to have to ask, what is Chris Perillo's sidekick name? Jake, what is Jake's last name? Jake Luddington. Jake does a blog on Apple stores. And I'm going to have to ask Jake what he thinks about this, but it's being kind of very apparent here that there's some changes afoot. And they took some bad press a couple of weeks ago on laying a new hirees off and stuff. But apparently this new guy that's in charge, this VP of retail, John Broet, is also responsible for, he was the CEO of Dixon's in the UK. And for those of you that are in the UK, I guess Dixon's is not one of these great experiences. I've never been to one before. But sources are basically saying that Google is removing help space and putting in more accessories. They are giving basically Genius Bars and that kind of stuff. That area to help folks is narrowing, and they're going to try to have the stores be more profitable. And so if you go into an Apple store anytime soon, don't be surprised if you are there to pick up a laptop or a new phone when the iPhone 5 comes out, where they start pushing, you know, a case, extra charging devices, you know, pushing accessories at you, because that is quote unquote and that what they want the salespeople to do. And there's some contradictory stuff going on as well as how they're going to get the salespeople are going to get credit, but less help, more sales. And I think that's what's made Apple a lot of money is the help. People can go in and get help, or they can come in and ask questions. And usually they don't have to have a Genius Bar appointment. Someone usually will say, yeah, here, do this, and get you in and get you out. We'll see. We'll see where this leads Apple. I don't know if this is a good sign or not, but their stock is still rocking and rolling, so obviously it's not affecting yet. Boy, I tell you, I've been watching the, as people have been kind of, it's a week now since the Samsung verdict, so I've been watching a lot of the commentary. I've been waiting for the critics to come out, and there was a good one over on theguardian.co.uk talking, and basically this guy by the name of Michael Wolff says, and he's pretty strong language here, he says, Apple's rot starts with its Samsung lawsuit win. He says, just like Microsoft, Apple's evolution from smart tech company to global Uber band contains the seeds of its own destruction. Apple came close to destroying its business in the late 1980s by pursuing a suit against Microsoft, claiming that Windows infringed the look and feel of the Mac desktop metaphor. Apple has focused its hopes and business future on this lawsuit while its market share dwindled. Rather than competing, it litigated and lost. He says last week it litigated against Samsung over its phone design and won. So, you know, that's a change, being that they won versus lost. But you can see a lot of the respected folks in the tech space are like wrinkling their nose a little bit and maybe even pinching off their nose because they feel the lawsuit just stinks a little bit. Now, there's a lot of fanboys and a lot of people that say Samsung deserved everything they got. And I'm not going to try to second judge the jury. I'll go ahead and report on what the jury is saying. But I'll leave that up to you on whether you feel you should not or you should purchase Samsung products in the future. But, you know, case in point, the pinch to zoom. You know, pinch to zoom has been around a lot longer before Apple introduced patent number 7,844,915, which specifically covers the programming interface. According to Google, they claimed a very specific software implementation, and the implementation is different in Jelly Bean, and that's how they're trying to avoid some stuff. But you know, the pinching is it was on some other devices before. So, you know, the public is, or the myth was that Apple invented that is not necessarily true. But the jury found for Apple. and didn't consider prior art, which leads into an interview that was done by the jury foreman that very clearly says he did not understand what prior art is about. Now, what prior art is if I basically hold up this pen and I say, instead of this pen being round, I want to have a pen that's got 5 sides to it. And if it was, 100 years ago before they had a 5-sided pen, I could say, okay, we're going to patent that 5-sided pen. But if someone else across the country had been talking about a potential design for a 5-sided pen, and it happened years before that, and if it was documented anywhere or even shown in a marketplace or as a prototype or anything, that could be considered prior art. Hey, someone already thought that up. You didn't invent that. So the guy that was part of the jury foreman, he, in his interview he did, I have the link up in the show notes, at about 3 minutes into the interview, you can say, this guy doesn't understand what prior art is. And Samsung did a lot of introduction of evidence that showed prior art. And this is why, more than likely, some of these counts that were found infringing will probably be reversed. So we'll see where this goes in the Court of Appeals, of course. All right, let's switch gears here and talk about Bing. Bing now lets you search and browse your friends' Facebook photos. So this is a new search feature. And so I basically went over and took a look at it. And there's a link on Bing. And let me open up this page, see if I can do this without losing my spot. Let's go over to Bing.com. Actually, I do it on this. Duh, I should have done it over here. Bing.com. And, where's it at? I saw it earlier. Let me go back to the source article that was over on the Verge on TechCrunch. Yeah. Let's see here. I wonder why I can't see it now. It was there. Let me search my name and see what I can find. I thought there was a link on the page I saw earlier. Maybe I have to be logged in or something. Nope. Isn't that odd? Well, it was there. I don't know why it's not there now. And let me see if I can blow this picture up. Can we get a bigger picture of this? TechCrunch doesn't let me blow that up. Yeah, it doesn't. I think you have to be logged in. Maybe that's why I couldn't see it. But anyway, you can search your friends' photos now on Bing and play around with it. But I had it working earlier. I just don't. I'm not logged in right now with this browser, so that's probably why. But I searched myself and found my own Facebook images, so it's kind of cool. All right, let's go ahead and switch up here. You guys remember me talking about Wolfram Alpha? This was quite a while ago I talked about this. Well, Wolfram Alpha is basically a data analytics site service, and they've been able to add a Facebook app, and basically you can get into it, and you can basically put your name in, and you can do enter what you want to calculate to know about. So you can put stuff in, you put stuff about yourself, different things. There's 60 different reports that can be pushed out of this. This is a data lover's paradise for those of you that are putting a lot of stuff on Facebook, and it digs in deeper on different stuff too. So definitely check that out. Just basically when you get into Facebook, type Wolf, W-O-L-F-R-A-M, Wolfram Alpha, and you'll find their app there. But it's professional data analysis service, personal analytics, and it's a report based on Facebook. So pretty cool product by them to have come out with. All right, Forbes has got a article talking about Facebook and basically $1 billion, poof, gone. They're basically slashed from the 2012 revenue forecast. So this is probably going to hammer their stock some more. I'm just wondering, okay, how long is it before the stockholders and the board of directors at Facebook basically try to ask Zuck to step away and let someone else come in and be CEO. Is that going to happen? Do you think that with the stock under pressure that the investors are going to get a little bit leery, and the big investor holders are going to ask for Zuck to be replaced? You know, running, he's done a fantastic job. Let's not deny what he has done. And their revenues are going to be about $5 billion this year. That's no small number. And $4.2 billion of that has come from advertising, and the rest from payments and other revenues. But that's down $1 billion from what was being estimated that they would be able to earn. Now, their stock was down to $19.09, which was about half of what the IPO was. So I think Zuck could be in trouble if this doesn't improve. Just a matter of time. So I'd love to hear what you guys think and how long you think Zuck is going to be able to remain as CEO. He's obviously got enough stock to. He's not going to get removed from the board by any means, but maybe it's time for Zuck to focus on something else and let someone else come in and manage the company. But again, I'm just pure speculation on my part. Do you think that the stockholders are going to want Zuck's head? Love to hear your thoughts. You can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. I know many of you are Etsy lovers. You probably love to use and buy stuff on Etsy. Well, Etsy is launching a gift card program this October. So if you know someone that's buying a lot of stuff on Etsy for Christmas or for a birthday, you can buy them a gift card that they can use to buy stuff right on Etsy.com. So kind of pretty cool. Good time to launch it right there before the major holidays. People can pick up all the artsy fartsy stuff that's on Etsy. And there's a lot of cool stuff. My wife is on Etsy probably 3, maybe 4 days a week. She doesn't, not too much gets buyer that's on the cool front on Etsy. I don't remember the last time I was on there. It's being announced on Business Insider that Google's going to be killing its TV advertising business. So they decided to pull the plug on Google TV ads. This was a 5-year attempt to convert the cable and broadcast TV industry into selling its available ad inventory on an online ad exchange. And basically, the companies flipped Google the bird, and they didn't. So, Google's moving forward with Google Fiber. So if you can't beat them in the advertising, then own the pipe, right? So this is a huge victory for broadcasters and cable networks who've been fighting an epic war against the web. And this is it's a big win for them. So, I use a tool at Raw Voice to be able to basically put in a brand, find the vendors' names, work with the company contacts and agencies and so forth. It's a very difficult inner shell to bust on any company, especially when it comes to ad agencies. If you don't have the right name when you dial the telephone, you're not getting past the receptionist. And even then, sometimes they'll have, you're with who? And they'll say, one moment, please. They said, we don't show you in our database. And, you're like, you're not getting through that front door. So it's interesting that Google has failed with Google TV ads. And, trying to make the advertising available via an online exchange, and the companies rejected it. Now, Amazon, when you search on Google for a product, usually Amazon is one of the first 2-3 things you find, and there's a whole bunch of listings. Well, Walmart has unveiled something called Polaris. It's a semantic search engine for products. And Polaris powers Walmart.com, as well as the company's mobile web and mobile apps. Now, I haven't been to Walmart.com in a long time, so I'm going to load it up here. And let me actually do a copy, and let's load this in the screen so the rest of you can see it. So I'm on Walmart.com, and it's, okay, so what do I want to search for? Let me think. Is there anything I need this weekend? Let's just do a search for tents and see what they come up with in their results. Well, it comes up with what you would expect in a online shopping site. So it's not much different than what I would expect from searching, you know, an online site. You know, the thing that where Walmart is getting their butt kicked is, and let's be straight up here, is when you search for a product. Now, if I go to, okay, so you guys saw that the folks at Walmart showed me a bunch of tents, but if I just type in tents in my Chrome browser here and it brings up Google, well, what do we have? If when I bring this up, the first thing is Coleman, which is, of course, a tent and camping provider. Then .com, tents, sports, and outdoors. Third search, believe it or not, can't believe it, it's Walmart. So let me click on both these links. And so the first item that leans me over to Walmart shows something a little different than I found earlier. So if I flip over to Amazon, it shows me their listing. So it looks like, at least when it comes to tents, Walmart's right there in play on Google. So let's try something else. Let's see here. What would be another thing that we would find on Amazon that we would also find on Walmart.com? So we can probably put in, guns. Because I think Walmart sells guns. And there are, well, maybe that was a bad one. So let me go ahead and try something else. Let's try, let's see here. What would be something that a Walmart would have? Okay, let's do a baseball bat. Baseball bat. And let's see what Google says. And we look at Google, and it's Wikipedia, cheap bats, Amazon.com. Google's nowhere to be found this list. Slugger, but still Amazon is 1, 2, 3 down the list. And if I click on that, it shows me all kinds of bats that you can buy from. So definitely Amazon is still winning the battle, at least on this very unscientific approach that I just did. But Walmart apparently here is trying to get themselves in the search results a little better and battling with Amazon in semantic search for their products outside of their website. And so they got some pretty good examples here. Talk about rings and earrings and gift sets and seasonal type products and stuff, beauty products. So anyway, I have a link up where you can take a peek. Do you, you know, and I don't, when I think about Walmart, I think about going to Walmart. I don't think about shopping online for Walmart. I guess you can order and pick it up in the store. At least I think you can. I don't, I haven't never shopped that way at Walmart. All right. 1 out of 10. Macs are currently running Mountain Lion. So adoption's been pretty quick. But you think about that. I actually would have thought it had been a little higher. That means only 10% of the Macs have been updated. And, you know, Mountain Lion's been out a little bit here since July 24th. So I guess their adoption rate isn't as fast as what I would have assumed it to be. How many of you have thought about in your municipality what's being done to manage water, sewer, those types of products and services where you live? Here in Hawaii, we've got a huge issue with our sewer system, and there's big money being paid to the government in fines and settlement, and basically you got to do like $3 or $4 billion worth of work to get it upgraded. Turns out that South Bend, Indiana was having some same trouble where they were putting too much sewage into its overflow, which rolled into the St. Joseph River. And they were also having issues where they were having the sewer back up into basements. That's pretty disgusting, an older part of town. But what they've been doing now is they've implemented a data system. And they put sensors in throughout the sewage, basically certain junctures in the sewage treatment facility, also in the pipes leading to it. And really what they've done is it cost them $6 million to put these sensors in. And they've saved themselves $120 million because the retrofit would have been having to, because what was happening was rainwater would run into street drains. And those street drains were the same places where basically that water run into the sewage supply as well, or sewage system. And so in order to separate that, they were going to have to spend a huge amount of money, tear up the streets, to isolate the storm drains from the sewage system. But because they were able to put this new system in, they were paying some significant fines to each year. And they saved themselves approximately $600,000 in annual government fines for spilling into the river when they weren't supposed to. And they're not really supposed to put raw sewage into any type of waterway. So they've been able to save a lot of money just by using data to really track what's going on with levels and discharge rates and so forth. So able to react and reroute where they needed to. So pretty cool thing by South Bend. It's all about this new data management for city systems and kind of a different look at tech. And of course, most of us could care less what's going on underneath our streets, let alone what happens after we, right? So we just, all we care about is it just goes somewhere and they process it, right? But a lot of tech going into our municipalities. All right. Next, Netflix CEO Reed Hastings has responded to HBO. And he says, the gloves are off between Netflix and HBO, and Northern Europe anyway. HBO has revealed plans for an HBO Nordic offering that can be accessed on the internet without a TV subscription 2 weeks after Netflix announced its expansion to Northern Europe. And Reed Hastings says, he said, hey, I'm excited to see HBO join us in offering standalone streaming services in Scandinavia. What about the United States? We thought the first matchup would be in Albania. Albany. Oh, I'm such a knucklehead. Can't get the punchline right. But this is big. So Denmark, Sweden, Norway, and Finland, you're all going to be able to get access to HBO. Paying, I guess, about 10 kroner or $12. I hope that's right. And so anyway, this is a big move. First time they've unbundled HBO from a television set, but they've done it in Northern Europe. So I know we have some listeners up there. And if you're an HBO fan, this is good news for all of you. Scientists may have made a big breakthrough in Cape Town, South Africa. They've developed a pill that can wipe out malaria in a single dose. Now, this is huge. Having been exposed and had to have taken some malaria pills and feeling I had probably contracted malaria once and been really sick and had to take all kinds of medicines for a period of time, to think that they would be able to wipe out malaria with a single pill is pretty incredible. And the initial tests have been very good. They haven't tested on humans yet, but everything done on animals so far has been big, and they're going to start clinical testing in 2013 on humans for the single-dose pill. This could be an incredible achievement if they're able to actually get this approved and it does what it says it does. Next thing up, that second monitor was also that same LG. I guess a couple of people got excited about that. Engadget did and Gizmodo. So I guess that LG monitor was the most popular one at the show. All right. How about a brain-controlled quadcopter? Well, researchers in Zhejiang University in Hangzhou, China, have developed a quadcopter that can be controlled by thought alone. And basically, they're using one of those EEG headsets that monitors brain activity. It actually interprets brain activity and commands the quadcopter to go up, down, right, left, and turn clockwise and so forth. Very, very smart. And all they're doing is thinking left, thinking right, thinking up, thinking down. And the video is like, whoa. And this is a good step. Maybe one day people can use brain control to drive a plane in which they're seated and go anywhere they want to, or maybe a car. Not a plane, but I would think a car at least. So very cool stuff. I have a link up in the show notes for you to check that out. All right. Those of you that are in Australia, check this out. Australian Broadcasting Corporation is basically starting to figure out BitTorrent. So in an attempt to dissuade Aussie punters from torrenting a specific show that's become very popular, Australian Broadcasting Corp has announced it will offer this weekend's new Doctor Who episode on its iView service as soon as it finishes airing in the UK. So that's huge, huge, huge. So we know Doctor Who is coming back. Of course, it's been on our screen since 2005, but it's got a hardcore following, even here in the United States. But they're going to make this available. And, you know, so if they're, I guess it comes to the Australian market later, but they're going to make it available immediately, I guess, when it shows in the UK, which is pretty exciting stuff. So maybe someone in Australia can tell me, do you guys get the programming from is the BBC programming on in Australia at the same time? Is the ABC programming? I'm a little confused because BBC is UK. ABC is obviously different. I know we get some BBC news channels here in the United States as well, but where's the relationship there? Is there, you know, a cross venture when it comes to content? Do you guys in Australia get a lot of the television content that's in the UK, or is it a mix of everything throughout the world? I know when I travel in the Middle East, when I was still in the military, you know, it was Sky. Everything was Sky. And the programming sucked. Because it was old. And that's why people use peer-to-peer. But I don't know how it works down in Australia. Every country's different. And I don't know how the relationships work between the BBC and the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. So love to hear it, but they're saying they're going to make it available. That's pretty cool. So it must be close. All right, another article here is that Kim.com has won a release of $4.83 million. Some of his lawyers are set to get paid. So he owes his lawyers in New Zealand $2.7 million. But his U.S. lawyers are not going to get paid yet. He has been authorized to sell some of his cars as well to raise money. The court will decide how that money is going to be used later. So interesting on that. Big win by Kim.com. All right, Netflix is ready to pay a $9 million fine or a settlement to resolve a class action suit over keeping subscriber records too long. But dozens of people that are part of the settlement told the judge not to approve the deal because none of the class action people get any money. It all goes to their lawyers and something that they worked out on Facebook or Netflix making a donation. So that's interesting. This judge may reconsider how this is. And that's the way it works, these class action lawsuits. I got my 38-cent check here somewhere. All right, how many of you are using Flipboard? Well, 3 billion flips later, Flipboard has turned to video. It's too easy to say Flipbird instead of Flipboard. This is interesting. So they've launched what it's calling TV channels. It's curated sections of its content guide sidebar that includes only videos, no text, culled from popular YouTube channels. So it's all about YouTube. Got to be on YouTube. You know, you know I got a channel on YouTube, right? YouTube.com/geeknews. So if you want to watch this show on YouTube, you can. Interesting news there on Flipboard. I keep wanting to say Flipboard. That they're adding a video section. And I use, you know where I usually, this is kind of gross. You know where I usually read Flipboard? it's definitely not in my living room. Okay, I'll leave it at that. A little light reading. All right, if you are using Hangouts at all, you can schedule a Hangout in your Google Calendar. So that's kind of a cool feature, a way to schedule a group of people. I like that. So we got the way to edit the event and a whole bunch of other stuff. So this is big. You now can schedule a hangout right in your Google Calendar. Hey, Curiosity shot that laser, right? And I thought, okay, that's probably not going to do too much. But there is some before and after images of when this thing is. See if I can blow this up. This is fantastic. You can clearly see 1, 2, 3, 5 holes burnt into this rock where there was nothing before. And a little bit of change. This laser's got some guts, folks. This thing, I was pretty surprised. Now, it's a 25, how big are the holes? It's a 25, it's millimeter size holes. So pretty small. So this is blown up. The laser shot what's called a 5x1 raster. And it was made from a distance of about 11.5 feet. So even though it's just a few millimeters, pretty slick. Pretty slick indeed what they have done here and being able to penetrate that rock. So now we have not only landed a rover on the surface of Mars, we're shooting lasers and stuff now too. All right, just I don't want to make this a political comment, but, you know, during the GOP National Convention, there was a lot of media being done, right? Well, apparently, Yahoo News Washington bureau chief said something that on an open microphone that was pretty pretty bad, and it was picked up upon, and he was fired within, like, I mean, almost instantly for what he said. So with media, with cameras, with everything that is available to people these days, and with the mics being left open and cell phones being able to record people. Oh, let me bring back the, that was dumb. Those of you that are watching, thanks for being patient. You say anything and you're going to get recorded. And I guess this is just a fair warning. If you're saying something in jest and you're on a job, someone with a recorder can record you in jest, and it doesn't matter if you come back later and said it was out of context, you're guilty. So be real careful out there, folks, because you may say something in jest and think it's between a couple of people as a little joke. And I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not condoning what this guy said at all. But you could end up with not having a job anymore, like this guy. And what he said was pretty bad. But anyway, you know, saying something off the cuff cost this guy his job. And we live in a digital world these days, so be careful out there. All right, the Electronic Frontier Foundation has sued the National Security Agency to get secret court rulings showing basically the EFF suspects that the feds have violated a law that's on our books. So the EFF sued the government Thursday, demanding a judge order the federal government documents allegedly showing that a U.S. agency unlawfully surveilled Americans' emails and telephone calls. Specifically, the EFF wants the government to make public a court ruling that found the feds had broken a 2008 wiretapping law. I don't think they'll ever get any of this information, to be honest with you. We'll see where this goes, but I would be very surprised if they make it anywhere with this lawsuit. Time will tell. What else? Article here on Wired that, come on, maybe load up. What is the deal here? Uh-oh, did I... Well, that's odd. All right, I guess it's the BBC article. You guys hear about this message in a bottle? It was found after 98 years. A Scottish skipper has set a new world record after finding a message in a bottle 98 years after it was released. And what's remarkable, this same boat crew a few years ago found another bottle that was 94 years old. And matter of fact, the guy that found that one was on the ship at the same time, and another guy who grabbed this out of a net now has bragging rights on this ship. So this ship is definitely good at catching bottles. I wonder if they're good at catching fish. But anyway, he's got a Guinness World of Records for finding one of the oldest bottles to have been found. And this bottle was specifically designed to sink. It wasn't supposed to be on the surface. It was designed to test the currents. And they were hoping that it would wash up somewhere where people would find it and then send the information back. They would, the reward was 6 pence. That wouldn't even cover the postage these days. So very cool. Scientists are doing a lot of interesting things with archaeological digs now and with DNA. Some pretty cool stuff on LA Times talking about human evolution. I'll have that link up in the show notes. You guys can check that out. I'm not going to go into any detail on that. Of course, NASA was finally able to get some satellites into orbit. And this was the science probes that launched to basically monitor Earth's radiation belts. So very, very cool. And these two satellites are designed to withstand an onslaught of cosmic rays for the next 2 years. And so some good stuff going on there. They're going to fly as close as 300 miles to Earth and as far away as 20,000 miles. So they're going to be kind of in this, you know, this huge oval orbit. And so we'll see what happens with this as these get up there and get engaged and scientists get them online. Well, and a spacewalk today at the International Space Station, spacewalkers had a huge issue with a bolt. They were able to get a bolt out, but they found all kinds of shavings, and then they shot the hole with nitrogen and then couldn't put this electrical power generator back on. So now they've got some issues up there where the station is down now 25% available power, and they don't know how they're going to mount this thing because of this bolt being stripped or whatever the issue is. With the bolt jamming. So it sounds to me like the scientists have got, or the NASA's got some thinking to do, but they've got it attached to the station right now with bungee straps, I guess. I guess it's not going anywhere, but it's definitely not hooked up. All right, the Air Force is seeking offensive cyber weapons. The Air Force wants to build it a cyber weapon. In a public procurement document released last week, the Air Force announced it was seeking concept papers to help build offensive cyber warfare capabilities. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of companies going after that to contract for sure, putting bids in. BBC articles talking about data breaches are 10 times worse than what's being reported. Lots of issues out there. There were 821 instances in the UK 2011 to 2012. As compared to 79 in 2007, 2008, especially going after health records, sales records, and that type of stuff. So pretty scary time for data breaches. We're running long on time here, so let me get wrapped up and kill a couple of articles that I had in the list tonight. Hey, if you haven't updated to Parallels, if you're running Windows on your Mac, definitely look at Parallels version 8. It costs $79 for the standard edition and $39 for student edition and $49 for those of you with VMware Fusion. I'm personally running Parallels right now at the time, even though I'm starting to run some VMware stuff. But they're saying that Parallels version 8 is just smoking fast. I really wasn't paying attention to it. I just wanted to make sure it worked. IK Multimedia is announcing iRig. So any of you are doing any keyboard stuff, music keyboards, you're definitely going to want to check out this new keyboard and app. So it's going to be available for $94. It's keyboard for iOS devices. So pretty slick, nice little rig there. They call it the iRig, again, iRig keys. So that's cool. Last couple of articles here. Let me, and I keep having, I don't know why, I click on a link and Chrome like flips it in a different position. Did you guys see any of the Burning Man vehicles for 2012? I'm going to have a link up in the show notes. You'll be able to watch a video. Some people have done some pretty elaborate stuff for Burning Man. They're specifically, most of them are on trailers and stuff, but they have went all out and spent huge, huge amounts of money for this stuff. That's almost like a cult following. Okay, Western Digital has a My Passport for Mac portable hard drive. It's got USB 3.0, has a 2 terabyte capacity. So prices are up to $200 on that. Along with that, the folks at Western Digital have put together my book. It's called the Velociraptor Duo. It's got a Thunderbolt 2 terabyte capacity, and hold on to your hat, $900. Holy smoke. It packs packs 2 1 terabyte, 10,000 RPM Western Digital drives. and it has the Thunderbolt port. $900? Who in... No way. I say it's for 3D rendering. And it's boasting SSD-like speeds up to 400 megabits per second. Both RAID 0 and RAID 1 configurations are available. It's Time Machine compatibility. Why would you waste a drive like this for Time Machine? But that's incredible. That's a huge amount of money for two drives at this. That reminds me of like the old days. It really, really does. Do you have a cassette? Yes, did you hear me correctly? Do you still have any cassettes that need to be digitized? Well, for $80, you can buy a, let me see if this will load. You can buy a cassette recorder that will connect to your iPhone, and you can basically capture the media right to your iPhone via this little conversion device. So I don't know if anybody has any cassettes left, but if you do, this is this option for you for $80. I've been in the market for a new printer. I've been having trouble with my one that I've got. And Lifehacker has a review of the HP LaserJet Pro M1212NF. So if any of you have bought a new HP printer all-in-one type deal lately, I'd love to hear what you bought and what your feelings are about it. I'm in the again on the market, so just waiting till a sale comes on and I find the right unit. Hey, that's all I've got tonight. And from an article perspective, let me go ahead and open the email up here while we still have time. Tim had sent me a link to the 98-year-old message in a bottle. Thank you, Tim, for that. I greatly appreciate it. And let me look at the date here, okay, so I can make sure I'm not reading the emails twice. Tim, it was my pleasure to share information about your show. So keep up the good work over there. Got an email here from Jeff. He says, Samsung and Google need a new dress. Summary, in the aftermath of the verdict of Apple versus Samsung trial, one thing has become abundantly clear. A unique product and brand identity or trade dress is a critical for Android OEM going forward. So I have a link to that. It's an article that was up on ZNet submitted to me by Jeff. So Jeff, thanks for that. Got an email here from Rochelle. He's basically saying, hey, Flipboard hit 20 million user signups. And but he says it's vulnerable to the Twitter API chokehold. So he's got a link on that for me. Thanks for that, Rochelle. Appreciate it. Got an email here from Todd. He said, hey, Todd, since Apple won against Samsung on what I feel is being a patent troll, I removed all Apple software from my PC computers and will never use any of their products or software again. iPodder and VLC work better anyway. I have also opted for Foxit PDF Reader and removed Adobe. I think some of these companies stifle innovation or have too many security flaws. Support open source. Keep up the great show. Todd out of Canopy, Oregon. Now, Todd, thanks for being a part of our Ohana here and sending an email. I got an email from MS Small Biz, and apparently I missed this one. So this was a few shows ago. He says, a few podcasts ago, you're discussing how the recent Olympic coverage was viewed by millions through online means. You yourself, as you probably say, are part of this so-called new media delivery. We as listeners are all probably far more likely to be Netflix, Hulu, and other online media watchers. While I also touted the move to online streaming for media delivery, I have started to question if we really want all our media coming from online sources. Recently, a college study of what the incoming freshmen know is the world, including that they never watch TV programming, use a TV, or have had a radio in the past year. Here's a problem. I see this with this move to all online digital content delivery, especially for information and news. The internet can be shut down and filtered. Use China as an example. By pushing more and more of our data gathering to the internet, we've caused businesses in the old school media delivery to change or die. In the case of newspapers, I think we see most are just dying. As users start to consume more and more of their audio and video content from online, we'll likely see our local TV and radio news sources face similar business conditions. And as most know, local radio has already been forced to sell out to mega syndicated operations. If we basically kill the airwaves delivery of content, we have put all our eggs in one basket. Unfortunately, as we've seen in a host of countries, governments are all too willing to filter out or even shut down the internet. The town crier has faded from reference. Long gone are the days of getting news via shortwave, and I'm willing to bet less than one in 100 households have a shortwave receiver. Other than clock radios at the bedside, I'm willing to bet that less than 1 in 10 households even have a battery-operated AM/FM radio. Will the TV as the airway receiver be the next device to find its day's numbers? When that happens, if it's not just countries like China that start to filter and block content in a wholesale manner, there has certainly been talk of this need even here in the U.S. Well, I think what's going on here is that people are just doing this. They don't want to sit in front of a TV. They sit in front of a computer. So that's why most of the messages in news these days is very short, 2 to 3 minutes of content, boom, they move on to the next thing. So what we're ending up with is a population of younger people that just get what the news tell them and maybe what they find in a blog. But I think what's good about it, now, if they firewall and block stuff, there'll be a revolt in this country. It just won't happen. I can't see it happening. It could, but right now, if someone finds a piece of information about a news piece and they get that video, they can Google that and look at search results and look at other people's opinions. So I think people are getting two sides to a story on stuff. But I understand where you're coming from, and I understand your worry about this. But I think it's going to be a long time before digital takes over. They have too strong of a stranglehold on everything. And only time will tell on this. But I think we don't have anything to worry about digital taking over completely for a long, long time. Got an email here from Jeff. He said, hey, AP Lexmark to cut 1,700 jobs, stop making inkjets. Isn't that what they do? Lexmark is cutting 1,700 jobs and said it will stop making inkjets and part of a drive to cut costs. The printer software company said Tuesday it will close in basically its plants in here in the United States. Pretty scary stuff. And their printers were always cheap and their ink was always very expensive. I think that's all I got, folks, for content tonight. Wow, we did go long again, as has been the case here recently. I hope you've enjoyed the shows, and I hope that you'll send me some feedback, as you have been, to geeknews@gmail.com. Or, of course, our voicemail hotline is open 24 hours a day at 619-342-7365. You can always reach me on Twitter. Or, of course, again, my name is Todd Cochran here at Geek News Central. Definitely support our sponsors. Citrix GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Get that free 30-day trial by going to GoToMeeting.com and clicking on the Try It Free button and using the promo code PODCAST. Don't forget about our two GoDaddy promo codes, 599GEEK and GO20OFF2. I think that's what it, let me get you, that code's expiring here in about 24 hours anyway, but I think I just blew it when I gave you the actual code. It's GO20OFF2. Okay, so that 20% off code. But thanks everybody for hanging out. Send your feedback. Don't forget about Saturday Morning Tech, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern. We'll be on here. We'll be talking all the latest tech stuff in the week. We try not to cover what I cover in the show, so I try to dig out some new stuff to cover. If you got topics you want us to discuss, we'd love to hear from you. Until next time, everyone, take care and aloha.